by the University of Oregon. It's part of their planning, public policy, and management program. And I've been placed here in Astoria for 11 months to conduct this master plan process. I got here in September and have been working away on that since then. And things are really moving along. It's been great so far.
Cool. Angela?
Yeah, I'm Angela Cosby. I'm the Parks and Recreation Director of this beautiful city. So my role involves overseeing the Aquatic Center, Port au Play Little Sprouts, the Story of Recreation Center, and then the 43 parks that we have here within the city of Astoria.
Well, for some reason, I thought it was 63 parks.
We maintain 63 sites. That's where it gets confusing. Okay. But some of our sites that we maintain are not dedicated parks. So we actually have 43 park lands. And then when it comes to being like the 15th Street Triangle or all these other little bits and pieces that we manage, clean, maintain, they're not parks. So,
you know, I'm kind of interested in the history of parks. I'm thinking of Robert Moses, of course, but many others. Angela, could you talk a little bit about the history of parks? I mean, how did people come to want to have parks?
Right. The city of Astoria has had parks for a very long time. In fact, Ocean View Cemetery, one of our most historic sites within our system, came to be in the late 1800s. And the
now, which one is that?
That's the one out in Warrenton, actually.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's a 100-acre cemetery mm-hmm. out there that we have 16,000 actual folks buried there. We also have, let's talk about some of our other historic parks, Shively Park, and then also Fort Astoria Park. Mm-hmm. We have Post Office Park, and the Customs, original Customs House, too, is in the park system. There's our department manages a lot of historic sites, and we're actually going to be focusing on that topic with historians Rosemary Johnson and John Gutenberger mm-hmm. on the December 10th Beers to Your Health event.
Cool.
Yeah.
And so maintaining all of those parks, we'll get to the master plan here in a bit, but mm-hmm. maintaining all of those parks and properties, 63 properties, 43 parks, it takes quite a bit of effort and quite a bit of budget.
Yes.
Now, how much is the Parks Department budget?
Our total budget is, I believe, $1.7 million. Mm-hmm. Of that, our subsidy that we receive from the general fund, because we also bring in a lot of revenue through the Aquatic Center, Recreation Center. We try to operate like a business.
Mm-hmm.
So our essentially, the tax dollars that go into the Parks Department is almost $900,000, $878,000 last year.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Ian, you've obviously studied master planning kind of stuff. How is that beginning to evolve here in Astoria?
Well, the first thing that I did when I started here was to get familiar with the park system, the programs that we offer, and to try to outline a framework for how to attack this plan. So again, I'm here for 11 months, which is really a short period of time when we're talking about master planning. Sometimes this process can take quite a bit longer. So it was important when I started to get everything organized and to schedule the project, to organize an outline of what we want to accomplish here in this 11 months. So we've organized the project into really three phases, the first being an information collection phase, looking at where are we now, what do we have, where did we come from, getting a sense of the community's priorities, how they're using parks, what they'd like to see changed or improved. And then the second part of the project, the second phase, is developing sort of a vision for where do we want to be. And in that phase, we'll be doing a level of service analysis. We'll be talking to more focused groups of individuals, assessing their priorities, and then taking everything we've heard and we've learned through the level of service analysis, compiling that into an initial set of recommendations for the plan. And then in the spring, the third phase of the project will be to test those recommendations back against the community. We'll do some more public workshops, another online survey, and we'll refine our recommendations into a final plan that we'll then present to the Parks Advisory Board, to Planning Commission, and to City Council for adoption.
So during this process, I'm assuming that you're garnering a lot of community input.
That's right.
How do you do that?
So we've been using a few different methods. Back in November, at the beginning of the month, we hosted two public input sessions. We had some hands-on activities where folks could participate and share their ideas for us as far as what they'd like to see in the future with Parks and Recreation. We had an 18-foot long sheet of all of our Parks and Recreation properties and facilities, and we had folks mark how often they're using those places, what they do there, what they like about them. So those input sessions really helped us get a sense of how the community is using the parks, what their priorities are for the future. We're continuing to collect similar information through an online survey that's going on right now. The survey is available on our website as well as our Facebook page. And that survey takes what we heard from the community input sessions and sort of directs these priorities and focuses these the prioritization exercises so that we can continue to develop this initial set of recommendations and focus in more on specific priority projects and recommendations.
Well, I'm wondering, Angela, you're obviously keeping up with this process as it goes on. Mm-hmm. What are some of the priorities that you're starting to develop?
One thing we're hearing a lot about is the Riverwalk, of course. We've had two focus groups so far between Rotary, and then this morning we had a focus group with the Downtown Association. We're hearing a lot about Riverwalk, restrooms, and higher maintenance standards of our parks. Garbage is a hot topic as well. Big
garbage
surprise.
And restrooms.
Garbage, restrooms. Also, walkability and trails is a large request we're hearing as well. That's one of the only areas that we're hearing actually build more of. From a lot of the initial feedback we're getting so far is take better care of what we have, but then trails is the only area that we're hearing, please give us more of this.
Well, all of that stuff costs money. I mean, are you going to be able to fund that thing through your existing budget?
Not through our existing budget, no. And that's part of the challenge when we're hearing take better care of what you have. We're starting to pose questions back saying, what are your priorities within that? Would you see higher maintenance levels here? Are you willing to give up something here in order to stay within our current budget?
Are there plans to try and develop other sources of income for your budget? In other words, can you increase your budget so that you'd be able to increase your services?
Right. That's a very good question. We're starting to play around with the idea a little bit, and then we'll probably get some more answers towards that and start asking more specific questions towards that in the refined phase of it. But right now, we're more interested in seeing if, I guess we're posing the more general question of, are you satisfied with what we have? And then if we get so much pushback saying, we want more, we want more, we want more, we can then come back and say, well, are you willing to pay for more?
Yeah,
but
right.
I don't think we're there yet.
For the most part, we've heard that folks are mostly satisfied with what we have right now. There are certain things that people would like to see improved or tweaked a little bit. But generally, it seems like people are very happy with what we have to offer. And so it's more a question of how can we operate more efficiently and effectively.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the cool parks that has really gone downhill over the years is Shively.
Mm-hmm.
Shively was developed, and you can talk a little bit about the history of the development of Shively, but it's kind of deteriorated to the point of almost becoming overgrown. Do we have some plans to kind of upgrade Shively?
Great question. I would love it if there was plans for that. Currently, there's not. One result of this master plan will be our top priorities. And if revamping or restoring, whichever it may be at Shively Park, is a top priority, then we can start allocating resources or trying to apply for grants to have a master plan specifically done for that park or improvements done there. So this is one step in that direction. But currently, we purely do not have the resources to do any more with that park or any other park.
So it'll continue to basically deteriorate unless we can generate some kind of funding?
I hope we've actually pushed the pause button on the deterioration. We were able to put a new roof on Shively Hall this last year. We have hopes to replace some of the floorboards. I hope to not let it deteriorate anymore. But we also don't have the currently have the resources to restore it either. But we don't want to see any of our facilities deteriorate.
Well, I'm trying to recall where I read about it, but Shively at one time had an amphitheater.
Yes,
and all kinds
amazing.
Of various facilities that were actually used by the citizens of Astoria.
It was in the other week's Coast Weekend. Dwight Caswell wrote a really awesome article on it. Shively Park used to have a massive amphitheater, replication of a Native American camp, 200-foot flagpole. It was absolutely amazing, and it was built for the city's first centennial. So in 1911, Shively Park was essentially redeveloped with all of this. And then just a few years after it, the city spent so much money building this. And then just a few years after it, so in probably before 1920, it started going downhill, and it's just been slowly doing that since.
And the reason for that, I assume, is that the Parks Department didn't have the resources to maintain it?
Correct, and there actually wasn't a Parks Department back then either. We were building parks, and I'm not sure what department they were maintained out of at that time. But, yeah, the maintenance of these parks hasn't been a priority throughout all of Astoria's history. It's not necessarily just currently. There's been a lot of motivation, or I found historically, not even in just the last 10 years, but over the last 100, there's been a lot of motivation to build big, beautiful parks, but there hasn't been the motivation or the resources put to keeping them beautiful.
Yeah. Now, continuing on Shively just for a minute, I got a call from this gentleman that wanted to put some kind of a big pole up there. I think it might have had something to do with the transmitting tower or something. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Yeah, I can. The wireless communications tower, there's currently a plan to put a monopole on the southwest portion.
And this would replace one that's up at the column?
Yes, it would. The one at the column, the plan is essentially the one at the column would be removed. Then a larger lattice tower would be placed out at the water reservoir blowdown site, much larger one. But then in order to get the signal still correct, an additional monopole would be needed. And Shively Park was identified as the best site for that. And actually, City Council will be talking about it on January 4th.
And there's some concern that installation would be unsightly?
There's questions to it, yes. I believe they're currently working on updated 3D renderings and photo simulations of it. So I don't have the best picture to present to you as far as what it would look like because we don't have that updated yet.
Yeah.
But it will be going to council on the 4th.
Well, Ian, from your perspective as somebody that's fairly new to the community, what kind of improvements would you like to see? I mean, forget budget for a minute. Say that you had all the money that you wanted. What would we do in Astoria to improve these facilities?
Well, speaking as a quasi-resident of Astoria and not as an employee conducting a master plan, I would say one of the first things that I noticed in town was when I was getting familiar with the park system, with the city, is that it was kind of difficult to find my way around. So... And this is something that we've heard as well in the surveys and in some of our focus groups, is that, the names of the parks are known by word of mouth. There aren't very many signs of our park names out in front. The trail system that we have is not very well signed. It's difficult to find your way around that system. So I think having a cohesive, uniform signage and wayfinding system would be really helpful, especially considering the tourism industry that's growing here.
Well, let's go ahead and talk about some more of these facilities.
Yeah, well, one of the things, too, we have, if I can talk a little bit more about the Beers to Your Health event sponsored by the co-op on December 10th at 7 p.m. in the Fort George showroom. It's going to be a great opportunity for the community to come out and learn more about all of our historic sites within the Parks Department and have Rosemary and John give awesome information about that, but we'll also be able to ask questions about what do you want in the future too. So the title of the event is Historic Discoveries and Future Planning. So you get to learn a lot about the past and then also give your input for what you want it to be in the future. So it's a great time too when you're talking about Shively Park and possibly restoring it one day. It's a great time for the community to come out and tell us if that's their priority and what they want to see with that.
You know, those of us that live here are really appreciative of our parks, but visitors to the community, I'm thinking, you know, the increase of tourism in Astoria, do you have some way of planning to market these beautiful sites to people that are just visiting here?
Absolutely, in multiple ways. We've been working over the past 2.5 years on a wayfinding concept plan that really helps, which we're working to get funding on to implement it now. Council's already adopted it. But it will really help take tourists who are along the Riverwalk and help bring them up throughout the downtown into some of Astoria's core parks to essentially enhance their visit, as well as help direct pedestrian foot traffic as well in a more usable fashion.
So you're saying, if I understand correctly, you're saying the Riverwalk is kind of the current focus.
Yeah, and we see it as our core transits in as far as pedestrians go, especially with the cruise ships that we see coming in. When we have 5,000 folks unload, they use the Riverwalk to really get into town on foot. As well, and folks are coming to come check out the sea lions at the port, they're using the Riverwalk to come in and visit, and the trolley as well. It's such a, for tourists, we see so many of them using that as their method of transportation, which helps with our transportation with vehicular traffic as well, getting more people on foot. That's currently our priority in that area.
Yeah, I think that I was talking to Bruce Connor, and we're having even more cruise ships this coming year. How do you use it? I'll use the term marketing. How do you market our parks to these occasional visitors?
Well, for one, there's the Astoria column in Astor Park, which is a marketing piece of its own. And the Friends of the Astoria column do a wonderful job making that so well known. Then after that, a lot of it is word of mouth. And then also the chamber does a really great job producing maps and introducing the public of the best spots to see in Astoria, which many of them are parks because people want to go see big green open areas with scenic views. Mm-hmm. So then you look at the 6th Street Pier, 12th Street Viewing Platform, the 14th Street Pier where the ferry used to dock. Or if you want a more leisurely walk going down to the Alderbrook Lagoon, and especially all the Lewis and Clark Historic visitors who want to come see those landmarks. A lot of them are walking down to the Alderbrook community and looking out towards Tongue Point and wanting to learn that history.
Ian, go ahead and talk a little bit more about your vision of the future.
Sure.
For Astoria.
Well, to build off of what we're currently talking about with signage and wayfinding, I think that would definitely help with the tourism industry that we're seeing growing here. And just having that information available in key places for people to find their way out into the rest of the community to see the rest of the parks, the historical attractions, would be really beneficial. And one of the things that's great about planning, you know, you could plan for years and not go anywhere, but the good thing about this process is that there is an end to it. And one of the great things that comes out of planning is grant opportunities. So hopefully we'll be able to turn this master plan around into an implementation strategy where we can qualify for more grant money to actually implement these priority recommendations.
This grant money, where would this come from?
The state actually has several granting opportunities that we would mostly rate very highly with restoring some of our historic sites like Shively or Alderbrook. But one of the reasons we haven't been able to apply for them in the past is that we don't have a completed master plan. And that's actually their third question on the grant application is if you have one. So it's kept us from going after some of these grants.
Huh.
Yeah.
So what's your estimated completion time of the master plan?
Well, we will be presenting this to Park Advisory Board, to Planning Commission, to City Council for adoption early summer of 2016.
Hmm. So, but during that process of presenting this master plan to those groups, do they have the ability to make changes and suggestions in it?
Absolutely. We have a very involved process, which I guess to start at the beginning where we're at right now, we have our Citizens Advisory Committee that's made up of what? Do we have 11 folks on there? It's a decent sized group with anywhere from young moms to business owners to senior citizens. It's an awesome group put together. They're the ones really guiding this and bringing information from the community, giving it to us and giving us suggestions as we go along. Their then recommendations are presented to Parks Board. The Parks Board recommendation will be going to Planning Commission and City Council for adoption ultimately. But all of this recommendations that we're talking about, the input that they're discussing really comes from the community. So the more we can get the community involved in giving us feedback early on, the better the plan's going to be. So one of our really big requests to the community is we're here to serve you. We're here to put your wishes into action. So we're asking that folks go and take our survey. I know nobody really wants to complete another survey, but we want to give you the best service possible and we have to hear from you. So we launched a survey just before Thanksgiving. And currently, what Ian looked before the meeting, we have 179 responses now.
That's right.
So we're starting to get up there. It will be open until January 1st and we're trying to encourage everybody to take it by offering one of our $50 punch passes. We're giving away one of those every day for folks who take the survey. So there's already been over 10 winners, and it's great seeing folks actually take it and give us their feedback. So you can go to AstoriaParks.com, take the survey, give us your input, and then start watching the results of the master plan. You can also come out to our community input sessions. We're having focus groups with a lot of the different key groups, whether seniors, parents, we've had one with Rotary, downtown. We're hoping to have one with the Latino population. Those are great ways to get involved. Tomorrow, we also have a field trip, which is a pretty nutty thing we came up with. If you're interested, we're meeting at the Astoria Aquatic Center at 9 a.m. We are going to try to tour every single one of our facilities that we maintain between 9 a.m. and 4 p.m. And we it's going to be rushing. It's great. We have about 20 people signed up now. We have 20 spots still available. So you can sign up for that on our website or just show up at the pool at 9 a.m., bring a sack lunch, wear your rain jacket and your hiking boots because we're going to be taking some walks in the rain.
Yeah. We've got a question from a caller from Seaside. Caller asks, have we explored, and I think you might have addressed this briefly, have we explored contacts from Kiwanis or the Rotary Clubs? Seaside uses those organizations for park restoration.
We absolutely have, yes. We haven't had a sit down with Kiwanis yet. They are on our list, but we have already with Rotary. And Rotary has partnered with us in the past on park projects as well and cleanups and even building some structures in the past as well. Good question.
And so, Ian, getting back to your perspective here, additionally, what do you see developing out of this master plan and how will it affect the actual physical parks department in the next few years?
I'm sorry, we're a little confused here.
There are some big ideas that have come up out of this process. I can't really say what's going to float to the top. I think, you know, as I mentioned, as Angela mentioned, we've had about 179 responses to our survey so far.
Mm-hmm.
We've reached, I have written down here, about 350 individuals so far between all of the different outreach that we've done to date. So that number to me seems like a good number to have hit by this point, but again, we still have a lot more people to hear from. There are almost 10,000 people that live here in Astoria, and we also serve quite a reach of other folks around Astoria and surrounding communities. So again, we want to get as much input as we can on these issues to really come up with these priorities and to see what floats to the top. Some of the big ideas that have come up so far to be implemented probably in the distant future. But you never know, maybe sooner than you think, is to combine the recreation facilities that we have. So we currently have the Aquatic Center, which is on this side of town on Marine Drive, and we have the Recreation Center on the opposite side of town. And folks have expressed that it's difficult to have those two facilities in different places, and what if we combine them into one large community center? There's room on the Aquatic Center site to grow. You could potentially build a second story, grow into some of the area that's just grass right now, and that could be a great marquee facility for us to have.
I'm wondering whether the site that now is called Heritage Square, whether that's entering into your thinking at all.
It enters into our thinking. A lot of what we've been hearing from some of the Heritage Square workshops that our community development department has been hosting is that for the parkland there extending off of the Garden of Surging Waves, it sounds like people are really interested in seeing greenery, trees, or sitting areas there, and that I haven't heard of a recreation center proposed there. I've heard a lot of discussion about libraries and housing, but I guess somebody was joking around, told me to put an outdoor water slide there, and I... I think Astoria, rain, you really want to be outside swimming, but it hasn't been a hot topic.
Yeah, okay. Ian, I'm wondering, a lot of the input you're getting, I kind of sense that it's coming online. Is it a lot of your outreach is online?
So far, again, we've done these, we've been trying to address different ways of getting input. So we've done these community input sessions, which we hosted at Fort George, the Level Showroom. We're doing the online survey, which is great. We encourage people to find a way to take that. We understand that not everyone has the internet, but there are places that it can be taken, such as the library or the senior center, for folks that don't have internet. We're also, again, conducting focus group discussions. So we're trying to reach communities that aren't necessarily hearing everything that we're putting out at this point. We want to reach everyone. So we're going out to find these groups of people where they are and getting their feedback.
Do you think that you're reaching a pretty good consensus of citizens?
I'd like to say that we are, our feedback so far represents a pretty good cross-section of different types of people in Astoria. Again, our Citizens Advisory Committee has a diverse background as far as people coming from the National Park Service, from the Department of Land Conservation and Development, city councilors and parents clubs. We have a representative from Lower Columbia Youth Baseball Association. So we're trying to get everyone into the mix.
Yeah, we just have a little short bit of time left. And I'm wondering, Angela, that if people, listeners, interested citizens, wanted to become more involved, who would they contact? How would they do that?
Absolutely. Give our office a call. That's the very best way to get a hold of us. It's 503-325-7275, and we can help answer your questions. If you like to use your computer, you can go to astoriaparks.com, get our email addresses for whoever you want to talk to, or we also have a specific page on our website dedicated to the master plan, so you can get updated with where we're at currently, what events are taking place in the future. Email, website, give us a call. Also, you can follow us on our Facebook page and Instagram and Twitter if social media is your scene, to be able to stay updated as well.
So, Ian, is your office down at the Aquatic Center?
It's at the Recreation Center, actually, at the Old Yacht Club.
Ah, the Old Yacht Club, yeah. So that, just real briefly, that will fit into the master plan, that facility?
Yes.
Yeah, it's kind of a cool spot. But we haven't got enough time. Terry's making kind of faces.
Come on our parks tour tomorrow and you'll be able to see them all.
Take our survey, come on our parks tour, go to Beers to Your Health on the 10th at Fort George. We would love for everyone to get involved as much as possible.
Yeah, the beer thing sounds good to me. Angela, Ian, really appreciate you coming down to talk about this with me. I ran a little late this morning, and I appreciate you putting up with me. This has been Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio. I'm your host, Jim Wilkins, ably assisted by Terry Wilson, our engineer par excellence. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll be back next week.